Good morning. It's 8:44 now at WFIR on the Roanoke Valley's Morning News. Governor Northam is expected in Salem later this morning to announce a last-minute funding plan for major improvements to Interstate 81. If it calls for a statewide fuel tax increase for trucks, it would closely mirror a proposal this year from State Senator John Edwards. He joins Evan Jones and me this morning live in our studio. Senator Edwards, good morning, and thank you for coming.
Good morning. Delighted to be here.
Now, Senator Edwards, as we get started, to what extent has the governor talked with you about his proposal?
I've been talking to the Secretary of Transportation and the Deputy Secretary at some length, off and on, for the last several weeks. Mm-hmm. And what the governor's proposing is not exactly what I asked for. I was hoping he'd do what I've proposed, which is a 5% wholesale tax across the board, gas and diesel throughout the state, because there are a lot of roads that need to be fixed, not just interstate. What his bill is going to do, as I understand, I just took a look at it late yesterday afternoon, is an interstate fix for mostly interstate, and it's mostly on trucks, mm-hmm. not all. There's a gas tax that I think is going to propose 2.3% on the I-81 corridor only, and diesel as well on I-81 corridor only. But then there's it's kind of complicated. There's a registration fee increase and a diesel fuel for trucks only increase across the statewide, but the money would be dedicated only to the interstate. So it's an interstate fix. It's not a statewide road fix, the best way to describe it.
Okay. Now, Republican Delegate Joe McNamara told us yesterday, when you're talking about any fundamental change to the state's tax system, it's not right to push it through essentially in a single legislative day, no hearings, no input from the Republican Party. Does he have a point?
No, because VDOT last year, based on a study that Senator Openshain and Delegate Landis pushed through, studied the Interstate 81 in particular. We know where the problems are. It's not the same thing in the early 2000s with, you know, Star Solutions, Hal Burton. They wanted to double the size of Interstate 81 with tolls only, and nobody liked that. First of all, it doesn't really need to be doubled everywhere. In fact, it doesn't need to be doubled probably anywhere, but we do need to fix a lot of parts of 81. So what VDOT did this year, last year, with an awful lot of hearings, the public was heavily involved to find out where are the problems of 81, where are the hot spots, the crashes that occur more often. For example, in Salem District, from Christiansburg, one in mile marker 118 to Daleville 150, the northbound lane, we need a new northbound lane. Not two, but one. And parts of it, you need to improve the southbound lane. But of course, we have a third lane going up Christiansburg Mountain. So it's not everywhere. They picked out where the problems are. Let's fix just those problems. And then they came up with an idea, which nobody liked, which was tolls. And I thought tolls were bad to begin with. Well, this winter we had hearings. It wasn't like nobody understood the hearings. We did have hearings on all the various bills. Senator Openshain had a bill. Delegate Landis had a bill. I had my bill, which was different than everybody else's. Their bills relied heavily upon tolls. Well, nobody likes tolls. In fact, people in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, we balkanized Virginia with the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority and the Hampton Roads Transportation Authorities, and they hate the tolls they have. And one of the things they were looking at is the idea of tolls not just on trucks but on cars. And people say, well, for $30, you get a pass. You can drive up 81 all year for $30. The people in Northern Virginia said, $30? We could pay $30 on tolls going to work and back. Are you kidding? And so there's a lot of resentment up there about what was happening. So the tolls got very little support. So we learned this winter, nobody likes tolls, and I'm glad to hear that because nobody does like tolls.
Now, did I hear that the proposal will include a gas tax specifically for the Interstate 81 corridor for regular gasoline that cars use?
It's a tepid 2.3% increase, as I understand it, on gasoline for the I-81 alone. And, of course, cars use gasoline. There's also 2.3% diesel tax for mostly trucks on I-81. In addition, there's another statewide tax for it to deal with the interstates alone. So it's really an interstate fix, but it's only a partial fix. It'll raise about, as I understand, about $280 million. My bill would have raised about $800 million. But of the $282 million, as I understand it, about $150 million will go to I-81, which is a good start. But we need more than that.
We are speaking with State Senator John Edwards. This will be one of the governor's first public appearances in months. And until recently, he's been out of sight since the whole blackface yearbook page incident. To what extent do you think it has harmed the remaining 2.5 years of his term and his ability to lead and represent Virginia?
He's digging out of it. He's doing a lot of equity issues. He's been talking about the importance of equity and some of the vetoes he's done, some of the proposals he has. One for example, the senator from Franklin County, Stanley, and I, too, my bill was rolled into his, had a bill that would say if you you would prevent suspending your driver's license just because you didn't pay your fines and costs on non-moving violations. And we've had that for a long time. The federal judge, Judge Moon in the Western District of Virginia, ruled in a preliminary injunction last fall that it's illegal to force somebody to take a person's license away when they can't pay the fine because they can't afford it. It's a poverty issue. It's like, debtor's prison almost. And that bill passed heavily in the Senate, 38-2, I guess it was. And it went to the House and was killed in subcommittee, something like 4-3 in subcommittee. Didn't even get out of subcommittee. And they have rules in the House that they can kill bills in subcommittee. In the Senate, you can't kill a bill in the subcommittee. It's got to go to the full committee. So that bill never went anywhere. Well, the governor, as a matter of equity, said, because an awful 625,000 Virginians don't have a driver's license because they couldn't pay their costs and fines. And so the governor sent down a bill on that. So that's one step toward trying to make life more equitable to more people.
Do you believe he can properly lead Virginia, especially when trying to represent the state outside of Virginia?
He's making a good effort, and I think he will. I think he will succeed.
And you took away one of our questions on the driver's licenses. Do you think that's going to pass?
Well, I hope so, unless the speaker calls it, not germane or something like that. But I think the votes are there. Well, it passed the Senate by overwhelming vote. It would have passed the House, too, if it had gotten out of subcommittee.
All right. But, State Senator John Edwards joining us in studio this morning. Senator Edwards, as for Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, two women have accused him of sexual assault. Once this year's session ends next week, should he step down?
No. He is adamant about it didn't happen. His law firm is looking into it. We hope they'll do a thorough investigation. And I don't see any prosecutor bringing charges. There's no corroboration on these cases. It's very unfortunate across the board. But I think he's going to survive. And he's determined to survive. It's not impeachable, for one thing, because where's the evidence? If a prosecutor is not going to bring charges, it's not a basis for impeachment.
Senator, the General Assembly reconvenes next week. We've touched on this for what's commonly called the veto session, when lawmakers vote on proposed amendments from the governor on bills or efforts to override his vetoes. What's your sense on the governor's proposal to make all handheld cell phone use while driving illegal?
I voted for that. I think people are now ready to say you should not be holding your cell phones in your hands as you drive. It's very distracting. You see it all the time. It's going to take people a while to get used to the fact that you shouldn't be holding a cell phone in your hand and talking on the phone while you're driving. Everybody does it, it seems like. But we need to get used to the idea it's very dangerous. And I've had lawsuits, for example. I've seen situations where crashes occurred because somebody was using a cell phone. And it's very, very common. And so we need to urge ourselves. We need to get in the habit of not using the cell phone while you're driving, certainly not in your hand.
Do you expect that will pass?
I think it probably will, because I think the public's ready for it. It's taken a while to get used to it. It's kind of like the seatbelt. At first, nobody wanted to have a seatbelt. Then finally, they mandated it. And now everybody drives with a seatbelt, and everybody is used to it. So it's a matter of changing people's habits.
Now, a bill that you carried, basically means like chief sponsor in Richmond this year, now gives cities like Roanoke the authority to ban smoking in government-owned outdoor facilities. Now, like Elmwood Park, for instance. Now, my only surprise is that cities were not previously allowed to make such a decision.
Well, we have the Dillon Rule. Cities don't have the authority and localities don't unless the General Assembly authorizes it. So this took me 3 years to get something through. The first time it got through the Senate, went to the House, was killed. The second year, last year, it went through the Senate, and it was passed the House with a reenactment clause, meaning you got to reenact it the following year. So this year, we finally got it through. Senator Amanda Chase from RICO, I liked the bill so much, she insisted on co-sponsoring it and went to the House with me to help get it passed, and she called it the Freedom to Breathe Bill. So it allows the Roanoke City by ordinance to say you cannot smoke during the time of a concert with a sign. And if you do, if somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, sir, would you please put out the cigar? And they don't, then they can get hit with a whopping $25 civil penalty that goes to a health care fund. And I don't think anybody, if they ask them, please don't smoke, will continue smoking. So it's pretty tepid. But the city wanted it, and I don't blame them. They got complaints from people who were smoking in the middle of concerts with children there, and the parents didn't like it. So I think it's good. And I think people are catching on to the idea. If you're in an area where you're smoking and nobody wants you to smoke, you ought to stop smoking.
Now, about this rule, because the sense I have here is that basically cities can't do something unless the state authorizes it. Is that Big Brother, or does it make sense? Otherwise, you might have chaos from municipality to municipality if there was a crazy quilt.
You can argue both ways, but the Dillon rule is a 19th century rule based on some judge named Dillon up in somewhere, Minnesota or somewhere. I forget where it's from. But it's an ancient doctrine, a common law doctrine the Supreme Court has adopted. And we have it in Virginia. And many people like it. They realize, they think, for example, a lot of contractors, a lot of others that have a statewide business, they don't want each individual locality telling them how to do things that's different. They want a uniform laws, uniform process. And so the Dillon rule does serve an important purpose.
Okay, let's look ahead to next year's General Assembly. We're with State Senator John Edwards. Now, all state lawmakers must run for re-election this year if you want to return. Now, to the best of my knowledge, you have not stated publicly whether you plan to run again. Here is your chance.
I'm planning to run again. And I got our petitions done and filed our petitions the other day. For the Democratic primary, there's no opposition, so I should get the Democratic nomination. And no Republican so far, knock on wood, has said they're going to run against me. So we'll see. But they have up until June to decide, but I'm definitely running again.
Okay, and I should have this information in front of me. For what term will you be seeking?
Well, the 21st Senate District will be my sixth term.
All right, so what are you going to run on?
I mean, I've been there for six terms.
Right, okay. Running for a seventh.
Yeah, that's right.
So 24 years.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I've been there 24 sessions.
All right. So what are you running on?
Well, I'm working on getting Amtrak to Christiansburg. We got Amtrak to Roanoke. It took me 8 years to get Amtrak to Roanoke in October of 17. And we now have Amtrak that goes from Roanoke's same seat service all the way to Boston. I've been working on getting Amtrak to Christiansburg. And I think the fact that Virginia Tech is now tied in with the Amazon up in Alexandria is a good talking point. I've been pushing that with everybody who will listen, including the Secretary of Transportation and others who are working on it. The sooner we get Amtrak to Christiansburg, it'll help Virginia Tech as well. And when we do get Amtrak to Christiansburg, it'll mean Roanoke will have two trains a day. Because this will be one train that starts in Christiansburg and then one train in the morning from Roanoke, and then later in the day another train both ways. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, the many. We're going to have to leave it right there, I'm afraid. We covered a lot of territory, but the clock is ticking. State Senator John Edwards running for re-election. And, of course, we'll be part of this announcement later this morning regarding the governor's proposal to fund improvements for Interstate 81. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.